Welcome back to the 39th episode of Chess Journeys, Tales of Adult Improvement. Here we not only seek to highlight the highs of chess growth and accolades, but also dive into the plateaus and the trenches and the pits of despair. If you want to support the show, the best way to do that is to go to Patreon Chess Journeys. I'd like to thank our queen level supporters, Terry King, Andrew Perry, JTEL, Jay Garrison, Diamond Rich Burgess, and Brandon Hallside. You can often catch me streaming at Dr. Skull _ Tiny Grimes, especially this week. It's spring break, and so is next week. I've already streamed a few times. It's been a lot of fun. And I'd like to thank our official sponsor, Chessable. They're amazing. If you haven't tried them yet, what? Why haven't you? I'm at 107 days and counting, and I keep getting these messages like, hey, it's 9 o'clock. What are you doing, man? I'm like, what? I've been working on my D4 repertoire all day, but I've just been doing it weird. Okay, I'll do some puzzles. And I'm also working on the Woodpecker Method. And today, we bring in our guest. He's Jesse. He describes himself as the typical San Francisco tech worker trying to make it in the world, yet carve out time for his chess. Jesse, how are you doing today? And have you had a chance to play any chess yet?
Dr. Skull, thanks for having me. Have I played any chess? I think I haven't been able to play any chess today. I did get some homework from my coach. There were some tactics puzzles. And I think I went into it saying, you know, if I have infinite time and like all the information is here, I should be able to figure this out eventually. Yeah. Eventually has come and gone, and I don't think I've figured them all out yet. So it's proving to be a lot harder than I thought it would be.
Interesting. Okay. I do puzzles when I'm in the mood for really intense calculation out of a book called The Best Move. And I set them up on a board and they take like 20 minutes and they are grueling. And I set it all up, and within like 30 seconds, I was like, what? I have this. And I was like, no. And I spent like 5 more minutes and I'm like, I got it. Oh my goodness. I'm amazing. I finally crushed one of these, because I miss almost all of them. And I turn to the answer and it says, if you thought to yourself, I could get this in a blitz game, you are correct. This is the easiest puzzle in the book. You only get 1 point. And I was like, what? Ah, it was so cruel, man. So cruel. Okay.
It's totally difficult. I remember earlier on, I tried to jump into Woodpecker Method, I think before I had enough experience. And I was like, this, I don't think this is going to work for me, because I'm spending way too long on a single puzzle.
Yeah. What I've found is puzzle books are so interesting and how different they are. Like Woodpecker Method, the answers are more subtle than any other chess book I've done. Like a lot of them are just like, you do this awesome tactic and win a pawn, and you're like, I'm just not used to puzzles like that. Like puzzles are boom, we mated them, not like we did a 3-move combo to win a pawn. So I'm really trying to reorient myself every time I open that. I'm like, right, remember, you're actually playing, these are like real chess game puzzles, not like chess.com puzzles where you get to be a god. Like that happens kind of rarely. Well, Jesse, let's start with, what's your life situation looking like? Are you married? Do you have a career? Do you have children? What's going on in your life?
Yeah, I actually recently got married in November. So that's been exciting. COVID wedding, so we decided to do it pretty small. But, you know, in the end, we ended up really liking the small wedding feel.
I thought you were going to say you did it on Zoom.
We did. So we did stream a bit of it on YouTube on like a private channel, because some of my wife's family was in Australia and couldn't make it over.
Gotcha. So you're officially a streamer is what I'm hearing. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Fun fact, I tried to stream when I used to play a lot of Magic the Gathering, and it is difficult to play any sort of game that requires your brain and also interact with chat. So
I totally agree. My streams have been me analyzing games, because man, when I try to play, my Elo drops like 400 points. It's so bad. And the chat is like, how is this guy 1700? He's the worst player ever. And I'm like, trust me, I'm better than this usually. And they're like, right, sure you are when you're off stream. So yeah, it's that's pretty hard. How about your career? Do you have like, is it a full-time career? Is it a part-time career? What, how's that working out?
Yeah, I work full-time until, you know, I make it in life as like a chess streamer and teacher. No, I'm just kidding. That's never gonna happen. And yeah, we have no kids at the moment. We do have a dog, which seems like the sort of baby steps to taking that challenge on.
But and dog's gonna be a big challenge.
Yes, he was when we first got him. He's a little bit better now, but still a bit of a challenge.
Okay, gotcha. So it sounds like you have a pretty busy life, a new marriage. So it'll be interesting to hear how much time you're able to carve out for chess. But before we get into your current chess situation, let's talk about your backstory. Do you have a cool origin story about like training with Kasparov when you were three or anything like that?
I have no cool origin story. I like learned, my uncles taught me when I was a kid, and I played with them a little bit. I sort of had the goal to beat most of my uncles and did that, and nice. retired early, you know, hit that goal and never touched it again.
Yeah, you got to retire champion. That's pretty great.
yeah.
Were you aware that there was like a broader chess scene out there, or was it just like, it's me and my uncles and that's the chess world?
Honestly, as a kid, I had no idea. And I think as growing up, I got really into video games and other various I played Magic the Gathering for a long time, and so I kind of just focused on that and didn't really think of chess for a long time.
Okay. I played a lot of card games as well, and I feel like that just that strategy element has helped me with chess. What do you think? Has Magic had a positive influence on your chess, a negative one? What do you think?
I think it's had a positive influence in sort of when I play chess, I tend to think a lot about what does my opponent's move do? Because I think that's a question that I used to ask myself a lot in Magic. If something happens in the game, I say, do I care about what's happening right now? Or can I just continue with my own plan? As it turns out, that's pretty good in chess, because sometimes your opponent will make a move and you can analyze it, but it may not pose a threat and it may not be building up to a threat. So you can decide to not get distracted by it.
Yeah, what a great analogy. I think that's one of the hardest things for newer chess players, is to really understand what their opponent's plan is. And I think especially because a lot of beginners' plans are bad, right? And so you're like, my opponent made this play. What are they trying to do? And is it any good, right? Like for me, I'm not amazing, but I kind of assume my opponents have a plan that's probably reasonably good. But I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I was having my daughter tell me about her games, and she was like, I don't know what this person is doing. So I just ignored them and did my thing. And I was like, okay. And I think Magic prepares you so well, because like, especially if you play blue decks, like you can literally counter what your opponent's doing, but you only have so many of those resources. And so you're like, is this the one? No, that's not the real one. That's the bait, right? I got to wait for the good one. And I think you're right. I think it prepares you really well for this idea of plans and counter plans. Yeah. Any areas where you feel like it kind of has been, I don't know if it's stunted you or made it harder with chess, or do you feel like it's just been all positive?
Ooh, I think there are definitely difficulties that come along with that. I think in a Magic game, you can very often get to a point where you're so far ahead that it almost doesn't matter what you're doing. Like you're going to win the game. It is a matter of going through the motions.
Yeah.
The harsh reality of chess is that you can be up a queen. And I've had this happen to me. I'll be up a queen, and then a few moves later, I'll blunder my own, or I'll lose on time or something like that. And that's makes it really brutal when you're playing chess.
I agree. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a big sports guy, and he's like, there's no one play in basketball where the ref just goes, That shot was so bad, your team loses, even though you're up 30. And in chess, there is.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing ever. Yeah, I think for me, the problem with card games has been the accessibility of rapid skill game. Like, it's in every card game I played, it was like I was able to get to a pretty darn good level pretty darn fast. Not world champion level, obviously, but like very, very competent. And in chess, that development is so slow that it at times has been really maddening for me. And I'm like, am I just doing the wrong thing? Like, I've been good at all these card games. What is the problem here? And then people are like, no, it just takes a long time. And I'm like, this long? Really? This long? And I'm still bad. Okay, if you say so. I don't know. Have you had that experience as well or no?
I resonate with that so much. I feel like I was just talking to someone and I was saying the most frustrating thing about chess is it feels like there is only this pit of despair. There is no, like, I see my progress and I'm doing better. And I think I made a Twitter post about it probably a month ago. It was probably the most engagement I had gotten on a tweet. And it was just like, why does it feel like this game is only pit of despair? I've picked up other games. Like, I went from Magic to Hearthstone. I picked up other games and I feel like you can pick those up really quickly. And so, you know, when I was 6 months into chess, or even when I did 100 days of chess, I was like, why am I not good yet? What's going on?
Yeah, it's so hard. What's hilarious about chess for me is like, it's mostly plateaus and pits, right? And like, this day is catching me on a good day. Like, I've hit a new rapid rating high, I've hit a new blitz high. I had a lesson with Coach Shivam today. We hadn't met in a long time and we did only end games. And I was like light years better than I was before. And so just for today, I'm like, you know what? I'm pretty good at this game. And in 2 days from now, I'll be like, how come I'm not getting better? I suck at this game. So I feel like it's mostly feeling like I'm bad except for those rare moments. So I'm so glad I get the podcast on a day where I think I'm not the worst player in the game. So it's nice. It's a nice day.
Totally.
Okay. So you're playing Magic. You're having fun with games you can actually get good at. What happened? Why were you like, no, I don't need to be good at stuff. I want to be bad at this chess game. Like, what brought you into this thing?
Oh, man. The funniest thing is I got baited by the YouTube algorithm. I watch a lot of video game videos, and there was a video that came up, and it was a Danya video. I remember it because it was titled Grandmaster Plays Beginners. And me playing video games and other things, I was like, yeah, I want to see the chess equivalent of a pro player destroying noobs. It sounds hilarious, right?
You're thinking that he'd be like talking trash the whole time. Yeah. Like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
I essentially was thinking, what is the 720 no scope equivalent? What is like the esports highlight reel of chess going to look like? And it was a big surprise for me because it ended up just being incredibly informational, right? And it was really, really wholesome. He went through talking about this move by my opponent was bad because of this reason, and I'm going to make this move because of this fundamental reason. And every step was learning about the game. And I was kind of hooked after that. And then like Queen's Gambit came out shortly after, and it like continued to build.
That's cool. Yeah. Danya to me is the, or Daniel Naradisky, depending on what you want to call him. But he's the most impressive to me of playing low-level players, crushing them into the ground, yet making the games like seem compelling, right? He'll be up like two pieces and they'll make a move and he's like, that's a really interesting move. Let's get into the dynamics of this. And you're like, you're destroying him. How are you making this interesting? He's so good at it.
He kind of baits you with the accessibility too, because he makes it look and sound so easy, and you're like, oh man, I could learn that in probably like 6 months.
Okay. Next question. What were your initial goals when you were like, I'm going to play chess? Was it like GM in a couple of weeks? Like, what did you have thoughts like that?
Oh my God. So I've been a competitive person my entire life. So as soon as I got into chess, I Googled how long does it typically take to become a grandmaster? And essentially the answer is, if you are starting in double digit ages, maybe don't bother. And I was like, oh, okay.
Did you believe that? Or are you like, yeah, right. I'm Jesse. Like, I can do this. Look at magic. I'm amazing at this.
Yeah, it was interesting because I think part of me was like, no, this can't be right. And so I kept looking up the answer, and it was basically unanimous. People like, if you're starting this late, it is likely not a realistic goal for you.
Okay. So you came in a little more eyes open, I think, than most people. What was your goal then? Or did you even have one? Did you just want to get better?
Honestly, that was so humbling that I was like, well, I don't even know how to think about this anymore, because with most things that I've done in my life, I like raced bicycles for a bit. It was like, what is the journey to becoming really, really good at this? And
yeah,
what do I think the time investment will be? And then when somebody says, being this good is just not possible for you, it kind of forces you to take a step back and say, well, what do I want now then?
Yeah. Yeah, that's been my hardest thing as well. I'm ridiculously competitive. My friends used to make fun of me how competitive I was, because I don't know if you've seen Talladega Nights, but there's like the line, you're either first or you're last. And that has been my mentality basically my whole life. Like, I would enter these card game tournaments. You probably never played ridiculous things like Game of Thrones or Star Wars card game, but I would play these things, and I'd go to, like, you know, the big national tournament, and I would make the top eight, and people would be like, how'd you do? And I'm like, I got last. And they're like, last? You're really good. And I'm like, yeah. And then someone would be like, congrats on third. And I'm like, I was last. Like, I didn't get first, did I? And I will not get first in chess ever in any way. Unless I can redefine what first is, Jesse. Maybe that's what we need to do. Like,
yeah,
I'm first under 1730 or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so honestly, chess has helped me reflect on appreciating the journey rather than focusing on the destination, especially when you say this destination is just not possible for you.
Yeah.
Then all you have is like, well, I was the best that I was in this time frame.
Yeah, that's what I've had to do as well. I actually think it's been really healthy for me. It was weird because I was never really happy playing card games, because unless I was the world champion, I wasn't going to be satisfied, and I wasn't the world champion. And even if I had gotten the world championship, the next year I wouldn't have, most likely, and then I would have been unhappy. So it's kind of weird that I'm a lot worse at chess, but I feel like I've just adapted, like you said, to just enjoying the journey and making it about the journey. Like, was I successful today? Yes. I read a chapter of Chess Structures. I was successful today.
Totally. Totally. Maybe that's what chess is supposed to teach us, right? Ooh.
Life lessons?
Yeah.
I thought it was just heartache. I was listening to the Chess Experience today, Daniel Lona's new awesome podcast, and they were talking about girl boss chess. And the founder of it is like, yeah, I tell the girls, chess makes you smart. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so my daughter has been like a little bit hot and cold with chess. And I was like, you know, chess makes you smart. And she was like, it does? We should resume this. And I was like, okay, there we go. Life lessons. We're getting smarter, hopefully.
Totally. Honestly. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
That is part of the reason why I wanted to get good at chess. Like, I love card games, and I love the sort of stimulation they give you with just strategy and thinking ahead and all of those things. And I want my kids to do that someday. Yeah. But I don't want to pay for their card game addiction, because that is super expensive.
Oh my goodness.
And chess will at least be a little bit cheaper. So that's like That's what I'm helping to tell myself as well. Yeah.
You know what chess doesn't do? Release a new set with three broken cards that you know are going to get banned in a month, but you have to buy them anyway at like $100 a pop to be competitive for that month. Yeah, chess doesn't do that. It's kind of great.
Yep.
Okay. So you got into chess. You got hooked by Danya's video. What were those initial steps like? Did you just watch every Daniel Naroditsky video? What directions were you pulled in those, you know, first month or two?
Yeah. The first month or two, I think I was looking for as many resources as I could. To talk about card games a bit, the interesting thing is that information in those spaces goes stale. So yeah. There seems to be a limited amount of media that you can consume. With chess, it is basically infinite. So it was incredibly overwhelming for me. But I think it was a Reddit thread that was talking about, if you're brand new, here are the things that you need to do. I watched John Bartholomew's sort of like fundamentals videos, and those helped a ton. I started watching some of Gotham's content, some of Danya's content, kind of just consuming here and there. And then eventually I decided to try and find a coach. And I found one on Reddit as well, because I got to this point where I realized there's just this ocean of information and I have no idea how to navigate it and how to best use my time.
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things by far in chess, which is, it's so different because I played like 20 years ago and it wasn't like that. Like there were some books that were known to be the good books, and then you read those books and that was it. Like there's some other stuff, but it wasn't that much. But you're so right with card games, with how the metas change. It's like, even an article that's 2 months old, you're like, this is just garbage now. Like all the cards literally have different values and have do different things. Whereas it's not like 5 years from now, they're going to be like, oh no, that book's irrelevant. The queen has totally changed. Yeah. And like, it's all garbage. That's what's fascinating. Like, we can play over games that are hundreds of years old and they're completely relevant to your study today. It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you find a bunch of stuff. How seriously are you taking your chess improvement? Are you kind of like dipping your pinky toe in? Are you just like jumping into the deep end 5 hours a day? Like what kind of plans? What are you doing here?
Yeah. I think my MO is really to just jump in head first. So I did that. I personally tend to be really, really good at jumping headfirst into something and then quickly burning out. So I think I did that.
Okay.
Stopped playing chess for a bit.
But what did that look like when you burned out? Like, how much were you doing?
Man, I think I was consuming chess anytime I wasn't really working. If I wasn't working or like spending time with my wife or dog, I was just trying to consume as much chess content as possible. Okay. Watching videos, I signed up for Chessable pretty early. I tried to do tactics on the various websites and trying to figure out what's going on. I also had, and this sort of continues, is that I had a weird aversion to playing.
Interesting.
Because I wanted to feel like I was more prepared to play the game before I played the game, which honestly, I think it continues, especially with like ratings. I still definitely get a bit of ladder anxiety.
Yeah, I do with over the board. I'm really funny because it's all psychological. Like if you told me, Kevin, tomorrow you're playing in a chess tournament, I'd be like, let's do it. I'm feeling great today. But 2 weeks from now, I may just be like, I'm terrible, I'm garbage, I'm not ready. And it's like, what? How were you more ready 2 weeks ago when you were literally worse? And I'm like, I was dumber then, huh? Then I thought I was better. So I hear you. It's this weird thing of like there, I just feel like there's certain things I have to know to be ready to play. And if I don't know those things, then I don't want to play. I don't know. Is that kind of what you're thinking? Like there's like this checklist of knowledge that you wanted to be able to go through and check them all off or something?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And I think part of it comes from being somewhat successful at card games, right? Because you can eventually study the meta so much and study your deck so much that you feel really prepared when you start playing. However, I think chess, that is not possible.
It would be kind of amazing if someone did that. They're like, I don't play, I just study. And then like 2 years later, they play and they're a 2000. It's like, what? How did this happen? Yeah, I think you're highlighting a lot that difference between knowledge and skill. I think with card games, there's definitely skill, but there's only so much skill, right? There's like so many parts of the game you need to know. And then once you know them, it's more the knowledge, right? I have to build up my knowledge of the card pool and the meta and how I'm supposed to react to this. And in chess, there is all that knowledge, but man, there's so much skill that like if you can't apply it, you just lose anyway, which is so frustrating at times, especially when you spend like hours studying end games and you get an end game and you still blow it. You're like, what? How did I blow it? This is impossible.
Totally. I feel the same way with openings because I enjoy studying openings because I hate feeling lost. But then I get to, and I don't study that deep. I'll go like maybe 5 to 10 moves in. Even I don't think I've ever gotten to 10 moves on an actual game of theory. But even if I got there, I'm like, well, we're here. I haven't won the game. What am I supposed to do now?
According to my chess book course, I'm winning. If you want to just hit the resign button now,
Yeah.
that would be great.
When I read this, it said this is resignable for you.
You should message them. Chessable says time to resign. Yeah, it's and it's hard to even get, very far into theory because opponents just do wonky things. I played two games today, two classical games, and my opponent played great both games, but played some weird stuff in the opening that I was like, yeah, I wasn't ready for that. And then, when I started going through the game very quickly, the Lee Chess was like, there are three games left with this bizarre opening. What are you guys doing? So yeah, it can be tough. So when you say you were spending time studying openings, was this Chessable? Was this books, videos? Where do you do most of your opening work?
Mostly videos and Chessable. So I think Gotham has some really quick, he used to do like the 10-minute opening videos. And then there's a couple of channels that basically just do opening work. I forgot the names of them.
Maybe Hanging Pawns is one of them.
Yes, Hanging Pawns is one of them. And then there's one, the chess website, I think was the other one. Really old YouTube channel, but I think he still adds new content. So that's where I was doing most of my opening study.
Nice. Okay. So you went all in, as you do. You got burned out, as you do. Did you think you were just done with chess? Like, did you walk away and you're like, cool, that was fun. I'm gonna go play Hearthstone some more. And there's this other new card game that just came out that I heard about. What happened there?
See, Shadowlands for World of Warcraft came out.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's reasonable.
And so that kind of took over my life for a bit, until I realized I'm fully relapsing into my younger self, and I can't be doing that.
Yeah, it's remarkable how much time you can spend doing raids and preparing for raids and yelling at people in the raid that they weren't ready for the raid, that you prepared for the raid. Yeah, I hear you, man. I went through a phase. Yeah, it was rough.
I had to put it down because I was like, this, I don't know why I started again. I mean, part of it was the pandemic, right? Because you're like, I have infinite time. It's great. I can like play this game. And then I realized, yes, I quit because this brings me to such a dark, toxic place.
It starts so fun too, right? You're
It
like, oh,
does.
this is great. I'm leveling. It's so fun. And then you're like, why did you roll on that item? I will
Yeah.
kill you. Yeah, I hear you, man.
Yep.
I almost fell back in that trap with a different MMO. And then I was like, no. I'll do a few levels and then we're just going to stop. We got to stop. Okay. So what brought you back to chess? Was it simply a reaction to realizing that WoW was bad for you? Or was there some moment that kind of like brought you back?
Yeah, I think when I came back the first time, it was just I wanted to do something with my time again. And but I didn't want to fill it with a video game again because it was just going to bring me back into that world. And so I think I eventually just picked up chess again, re-engaged with the first coach I had, and started to just take a, I told myself, well, maybe if I take a more structured approach and like think of it that way, I can manage burnout a little bit better.
Okay. What does that mean, a more structured approach?
Yeah. I went all in on structure and made a spreadsheet that would track how much time I was spending on tactics, on openings, on actually playing games. Because in my mind, I was like, oh, this is going to help me use the limited time that I've set to do this thing and use it the best that I can.
So was that part of the deal where you were like, I'm only doing X amount of time a day or a week so that you wouldn't burn out? Okay. What was that number?
I think it, I started with 10 to 15, and then it slowly started to creep up to like 20 again.
20 hours a week?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's quite a bit. That's like almost 3 hours a day. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good number. And is that where you're at and you're not burned out?
No, to nobody's surprise, burnt out again.
This is awesome. Okay. So you went too hard again, burned out again. But you fool me twice. It's supposed to be fool me once, but fool me twice. Shame on me. Shame on you. Fool me three times. That won't happen. Okay. So you burn out the second time. What do you do? Where are we going now that we burned out a second time?
Let's see. I burned out a second time. And honestly, I think I started focusing more on physical health. So the really interesting thing is chess started to get me to focus on physical health a little bit. Okay. Because I was like, man, I definitely feel a lot better when I'm sleeping more, when I'm more physically active. I seem to do better at chess. So I should also focus on this thing again. And then as I started to get a little bit burnt out on chess, and I think part of that is like the struggle with improvement and how slow it is. I got a little impatient, right? I was like, why isn't this happening? Like, maybe I'm just wasting my time.
Yeah.
And then with exercising and getting physically active, the feedback is very fast, right? Strength goes up really quickly. Your cardio starts to improve quickly. You start to shed pounds quickly. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, man, maybe I'll just continue to do this thing instead.
At least it's good for you too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Destroy you. Mm-hmm. It's funny because my doctor has been like so impressed with me lately. He's like, I don't understand. You're sleeping good now. You're eating better, you're exercising more. And I just don't want to admit that it's like, it's also get better at chess. Like, you're going to be like, what? No, do those things because they're good for you. Like, nah, if I was still playing Magic, I wouldn't care about those things.
Exactly.
Okay. So now you're physically fit. What? Please don't tell me you weren't like, then I gave that up to go back to chess. I'm really hoping we're going to hear we found balance. So what happened? We came back to chess again. What draws us back this time?
Ironically, I was playing a video game with my wife called It Takes Two.
Ooh, I've heard of it.
Highly recommend it. It's a ton of fun. And there was a chess mini game in there. Nice. And we played it. And I like lost on time. And I blamed it on, I can't really see the board. I'm trying to move the board. Right, so like, I'm whatever, I lost on time. And I was like, wait, that was actually kind of fun though. And so I was like, I think I want to start re-engaging with chess, like just a little bit. We'll try it out.
Here and there, a little nibble. By the way, does your wife think you've lost your mind that you keep going back to this hobby that treats you so poorly?
Not yet.
Okay. Okay, so you're nibbling a bit. How does this work? How does the nibbling on chess work? Have you limited yourself to like some absurd number, like 15 minutes a day or something?
Yeah. So I think when I started, I tried to just play a few games and I was like, oh my God, this is horrendous. Like I can't do this. Right. So I went back into tactics a little bit and then slowly started to work in opening theory again and then started to like fold in the games again. I think now my relationship with chess is, you touched on this earlier, is like trying to find that balance of like, I want to do these other things that keep me healthy and I want to engage with chess in a healthy way and I want to balance my lifestyle. And this time, hopefully not go all in and burn out again. And maybe the way that I'm doing that is on days that I feel like I don't want to play a game, then I don't. And I think when I was tracking it on a spreadsheet and saying like, I need to put in these hours, it started to turn into a job. And then immediately after I finished those 100 days, I was like, holy God, I don't really want to do this anymore.
That's interesting. Yeah. I keep track of my daily regimen and there's definitely days where I'm like, I do not have it. And I make myself, but I make myself do a minimum, right? Like I want to at least be able to say, even on the bad days, I did a half hour. And maybe that means 10 minutes of tactics, 20 minutes on the elliptical where I watch a video, and that's fine. I probably should take some days where I don't do anything and probably be healthier, but I haven't. It's been like 300 days maybe or something where I've just done chess every day. So we'll see what happens.
That's awesome.
I'm on spring break right now and I've done 5.5 hours already today. And I'm going to do more after this interview is over. So if I'm ever to burn out, it's going to be this week, my friend, because I'm planning on doing like 5 hours a day, but it's more kind of like freedom. And what does freedom mean for me? More chess. And my wife is like, really? You're home all day without your family for the first time and you just did chess all day? Something is wrong with you, man.
That's really funny.
I think she's a little worried about me, to be honest. I think she's a little worried.
My wife was out of town last weekend and I ended up engaging with chess the entire day, but it like felt a lot more fun. I think it didn't feel, because I didn't put my pressure on myself that I had to do it, that I ended up engaging as much as I felt like I wanted to. And it just happened to be basically the entire day.
That's awesome. What are your goals then right now? Are your goals just simply don't burn out? Or do you have like ratings goals or study goals? What are you seeking to do right now?
Yeah, I think the number one goal is to not burn out because consistency is key, right?
Yeah.
And I think I've developed a fun mind game to play with myself since everyone knows that Lee Chess ratings are a little bit inflated.
Oh, yeah.
I go to Lee Chess and I get my rating there. And then the challenge to myself is just catch up. Just go on chess.com and try and catch up. And then I think my theory is that I'll be able to combat this sort of like ladder anxiety and like getting really upset about rating dropping because you're like, oh, but the rating over there is still fine.
This is a fantastic idea. I love it. I try to do something like that. I'm 1700 rapid on chess.com. And I was like, all right, if Lee Chess is like 300 to 400 points different, does that mean I could have that magical 2 in front of my name? So I decided to play like 2 games, and I think I was like 1990 after just 2 games. But then I played someone who was like really good but unranked and 1500 and lost, and then I dropped quite a bit, and I'm only at like 1850. So I haven't been able to play that like, I've got this 2000 that just sits there game yet, but it's kind of my goal, I think, is to be able to like, I don't know, like, who am I going to tell? Like, I'm 2000, and I say under my breath, Lee Chess, and they're like, what's a Lee Chess? And also, what does 2000 mean? And what's even happening right now? Like, I'm the postman. Why are you telling me this? I don't know why, but you know, I'm a strange person. What can I say?
I feel like my goal is to, when I say, yes, I play chess, to be confident, to sit down with the person that I've just told that to and play a game with them and probably win. And it feels like that rating is probably somewhere between 15 to 2K, right? I think now I'm almost embarrassed to say that I play chess. Like, if someone says, do you play chess? I might as well just tell them I know how the pieces move.
It's also tough if they're like, oh, how much do you play? And you're like, oh, I study 13 hours a week. And they're like, I play every now and then. And then they win. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. One of my wife's coworkers, we were talking about it, and he mentioned that, oh, I heard you got in chess, Nikki told me. And I said, yeah. He's like, we should play sometime. And I look him up, and he's like 2000 blitz. And I was like, yo, what is going on? He's like, oh, I don't play that seriously anymore. I was like, well, then tell me what is going on.
That's awesome. Yeah, I have the nice thing is I've gotten to the skill level now where I can beat every kid at the school I teach at who just randomly comes up to me and is like, I heard you're a chess god. Can we play? And then I thrash them and I get to like be the chess god of the school. But there's this kid. He moved from Britain and apparently he was like almost 2000 at one point on chess.com and he's not anymore. And he only plays bullet and I don't play bullet. And I've got him to agree to like, all the kids are like, you got to play Spike, man. He even has a cool name. All right, fine. I'll play him. But so I'm a little worried. He's going to pound me. And then everyone's going to be like, you're no chess god. And I'm like, you got me. I'm a fraud.
So. You just have to, you have to dodge, you know? So every day he wants to play that. Sorry, I'm busy that day.
I got a meeting, actually. I forgot about it.
Doing adult stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm a teacher. He'll believe that. What, is he not going to believe I have a meeting? Sir, I don't believe you. All right, well, I've heard a lot about your studying. You know what I haven't heard about? Endgames. Do you work on endgames at all? Or are you just kind of like, endgames are not always reached, and we are working on that later in our development?
A little bit of both. I think I took some time to learn the sort of basic mating patterns. That being said, if I'm on a survival run, I am pretty much convinced that my success is based on how many endgame puzzles I get because they are really hard.
Okay. All right. So not all the way in yet. Might I suggest Silman's endgame manual thing? It's so amazing because it's divided by rating level and you can just kind of be like, all right, Silman, I don't know how you've divided this up, but I'll do your first two sections or whatever it is. It just kind of feels good to be like, I feel like I'm reasonable for my level now.
Yeah. I'll have to take a look at that. I definitely own the book as most chess, probably most adult chess players where you're like, well, if I buy a bunch of books, I am automatically better. Yeah.
I thought that's what made you 2000, is just having a good enough book collection that you might read someday.
Yeah. It has not worked so far.
Yeah, it hasn't worked for me either. Like, I have a lot of good books, man. My kids got me some Agard books for Christmas that are like way out of reach of me. And I'm like, I own them. That has to be at least 100 rating points. Turns out it's not, unfortunately. All right, so what are like, you had to list some of your favorite resources in this time in chess that you enjoyed or had success with or would recommend to people. What are, say, like top five things?
Ooh, top five things. Honestly, I think John Bartholomew's fundamentals videos are a must for anyone starting out. Absolutely go through those. And the wealth of chess podcasts, I think it makes it more enjoyable to remember that chess is just, there's so much in this community other than the pieces on the board. So it's your podcast, it's the new Chess Feels podcast, like looking at different aspects of chess and, you know, getting to know the people. And I think that's what makes it really, really fun. Other resources. I think obviously Danya's content and Gotham's content, all amazing. And honestly, Chessable is great. I love Chessable because it is the easiest way to do something chess related. And also you get like fun stuff like a streak, and you get to keep that going. And it sort of keeps you for like doing that least one or two chess related things a day. And it's so easy to, you know, if you're waiting in line at a grocery store, to just open your phone and do some quick Chessable stuff. I think all of those resources are some of my top ones.
Okay. You know what I didn't hear? Books. Do you read chess books? Or are you like, dude, if I wanted to read a book, it wouldn't be a chess book?
Oh, no. I am so bad at reading chess books. It is. So I was reading Play Winning Chess because I wanted to go back and say, okay, I'm gonna read a chess book. And then it came out on Chessable and I was like, why am I gonna read this chess book? I think Chessable with the videos is really what helps me. I think what I use chess books for the most part now is playing through model games when I sit down and do that. I think a lot of the times the books, maybe the books that I've sat down to read are a little advanced for me. And maybe part of that also is if I want to read a book, I want to go like sit on the porch and read a book or sit in a park and read a book. And that's usually really difficult with a lot of chess books until I buy one of those really portable chess sets.
Yeah, I even with a portable chess set, I found it hard because for me, like laying in bed as I'm going to sleep with the lights off is when I do my most reading, and like I read ebooks and it's like you can't have a portable chess set very well there. So yeah. I've been using things like Forward Chess, the new in chess app, and I find those to be quite useful. But yeah, it can be a real challenge. All right, talked about a chess coach. It sounds like you originally got a chess coach pretty early on to kind of help you sort through the sea of information. So I guess my main question is, how did you find someone that you felt like you could trust to be your guide through that? Was it just kind of like random first person you encountered, they impressed you, you went with it? Did you go through some people, do some research? How did that process work for you?
Yeah. That's a really good question, because I'm a firm believer of that just because you are good at something does not necessarily mean you are good at teaching it. So I wanted to look for somebody that, one, was decently good at the game, and also had some experience teaching people. And so when I had found my first coach on Reddit, he talked about how many people he had taught and sort of how they learn the game. And then I think in looking for my most recent coaches, it's sort of the same, right? Like I want somebody that knows how to teach people. And I think another thing that sticks out to me is, can you teach somebody who didn't pick up chess when they're 4 years old and is like a master now, right?
Uh-huh. So basically someone who understands the challenge of being that adult improver just getting started.
Totally.
Yeah, I understand that. So it sounds like you've had a couple different coaches. What's kind of motivated you to change coaches? I think it's just really important to hear, because I think it's tempting to just like find a person and then they're just your coach. And no matter what happens, you're like, that's my coach. They said a whole bunch of horrible things to me, but they're my coach, right? It's like, there's so many awesome coaches. You don't have to be beholden to one particular person. So what was that process like for you? Like switching coaches or finding different coaches?
Yeah, I think for me, it was really asking myself, what do I want out of this agreement? It's agreement, relationship, however you want to, want to categorize it. Like, what do I want to get out of this? What level of engagement do I want? I think another big part is, how do I just interact with this person as a human being? Like, do we seem to jive well? And does it feel like I trust what they're telling me? Does it make sense? Or, I think it's a lot of those little factors where in the end you're like, am I having a good time with this person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I've had a bunch of coaches, and to be honest, they were all great. If I had like infinite time or multiple metaverses or something, then they would all be my coaches. So there's so many great people out there looking to help people. So yeah, it's totally. I think, do you feel like coaches have been a really valuable part of your process, or is it kind of like, I feel like I should have a coach, so I have a coach? Like, how has that worked out for you?
I think it's been incredibly valuable. I think a lot of the times I think the hardest part about trying to learn yourself, for example, an opening, like I can memorize moves, but if I don't understand the ideas, then it's really easy for me to get lost, right? So I think getting a coach can teach you, one, like how to think in chess, and two, the biggest thing is analyzing your games. Right. I think naively, I thought, there's a computer and it'll just tell me. And you go through and like, yeah, move is trash. Got it. but then you don't really learn. And I think the really great coaches will say, what were you thinking here? Mm-hmm. And let's understand why that thinking is either correct or flawed. And so we can change your thinking rather than remembering, oh, that move was garbage.
Yeah. How you get to that move mentally rather than just labeling. Right. I often feel like working with a computer is like having a language barrier, right? Like you meet somebody, you know, they know a lot, they speak another language, and they can only give you like little nuggets where you can understand one another. That's kind of how I feel like it is interacting with the computer. Like they totally can point and be like, bad. And you're like, okay, why? And like, I could tell you all this stuff, but I don't know. We don't speak the same language. Sorry.
Yeah. I think sometimes the Lee Chess, there's like a threats button now. And that is sometimes really helpful. And I think what it does is just switch whose turn it is, which is really interesting. Cause I think a lot of coaches will think that way too. And say like, if you had two moves to make, what would you do? And like your opponent couldn't move and help you sort of devise a plan. So I think that was a really cool feature that they added to Lee Chess. Cause sometimes when I'm doing my own analysis, like I don't understand, like, why is this move so crazy? Yeah. And then you click the threats button. You're like, oh, that's what I'm actually trying to do.
Interesting. Okay. I'm going to take a look at that. That sounds amazing. One last thing that I haven't heard you touch on at all is over the board tournament chess. Haven't heard one whisper about this. So first question, have you played any over the board non-tournament chess? Just like going to a coffee shop, hanging out with some people, playing on a physical board.
I did for the first time this past weekend. So when my wife was out of town, I found on meetup.com randomly, and they were like, we're going to be playing at this park. Come stop by. I said, hey, maybe I should try this out. And I think before that I'd only played with my wife and a really close friend. And those have been fun, but never with strangers. So this was the first time going out into the wild and playing chess with people I had no idea.
Okay. And were they adults or was it like a mixed group?
It was all adults.
Okay.
So that was nice.
Nothing like a chess tournament.
Yeah. Didn't get crushed by like a 7-year-old.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That sounds like a fun experience. I assume it wasn't rated games. It was just having a good time in a park playing some chess.
Yeah. And it was great. That's exactly what it was. And there was like varying levels of skill. Like there was people there that had no idea, like only knew that this is how the pieces moved. And there were there are people that like, oh, I can tell this person has played before, and we're like going through book moves of an opening together.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, that's cool. So tournaments, any thoughts, like any of them circled where you're like, maybe this is going to be my first one. I'm going to get out there.
That one, I'm unsure. I think back to the like days of Magic the Gathering tournaments, and maybe it's just how I think about prioritizing my time now. When I honestly, there's two pieces. One is going through a tournament that is like multiple days, like 8 hours a day or something. That sounds so draining.
And it is.
Yeah. And then the other side of that is it sounds like my personal hell to play a 4-hour game and lose it.
Yeah, especially when you're up like significant material, like our friend last week, Omar, was playing one of those games, up a queen, lost, and then had to wait a couple hours for the next game. Oh, those are so hard to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. Like I probably would have disappeared.
I think
part of it is just like how I want to think about spending my time these days, right? I think I do want to think about maybe doing a rapid over the board tournament, maybe a blitz over the board tournament someday. I think just something that is a little bit less heavy on time commitment. And that's why a lot of my study focus is less on like, I want to improve at chess overall, I want to improve at chess, but also mostly faster kind of time controls.
Okay, interesting. So you are not a person who would say classical over the board chess is real chess and faster time controls are just like a really poor substitute. You're kind of saying like, for me, those are real chess and my sort of barometer for my success.
Yeah, I would take a look at it as they are just different games.
Ooh, interesting.
I like they have the same rules and the same pieces, but the actions that you do in one are very different from the other, right? Mm. I think in Blitz, you can sort of make moves that further complicate the position. And put pressure on your opponent, and you're like, well, you're just going to think about this, and then eventually you'll run out of time. Whereas that approach in classical is perhaps not recommended.
They might run out of time, but they have many hours to think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm one of the people who like prioritizes classical chess, even though hilariously like I never get to play it, like I don't know why I'm prioritizing it so much. Like even my blitz games, I'm like, gotta have 5-second increment, because I'm never gonna get in a spot where I just get to randomly flag a person in classical chess. People get flagged, but not because they literally couldn't move their hands fast enough. So interesting. Okay, so over the board chess doesn't sound like it's necessarily in your future. Are you going to play more though of these like fun over the board things? Have you been looking for more meetups and made some contacts and going to get back out there?
Yeah, I think they were talking about that it was going to be a weekly thing, and I definitely want to do that. And I want to, once I'm back at the office, I think there's a couple of people that I work with that also play chess. So I'd love to I think playing in person is really fun. It was similar to Magic in the sense that I realized I really loved playing Magic in person. I didn't really love the playing online, even though it could.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't the same. I have a lot of fun playing over the board. But I think the commitment of saying like, I'm going to do a classical tournament, I don't know if that's in the cards for me.
Yeah, it's really hard for me as well. Like I was so excited. I found this Tuesday night thing and it was all adults because no kids want to play from 7 p.m. to 11. And it was a rated classical game once a week. And then my wife was just like, that does not work with our family schedule. Like you just can't do that. And I was like, no. And she's like, just find one on Thursday nights and that would work. And I'm like, there aren't any. I can't like make this group of 40 people that have been playing on Tuesday night for the last 37 years switch to Thursdays. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, maybe she's encouraging you to start your own chess club. Is what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm hearing as well. It could start in our garage and grow from there.
Exactly.
The Chess Journeys Chess Club. Oh, we are on to something now, Jesse. Well, thank you so much for coming by. What a great conversation. I am just so especially happy I got to talk to somebody who's burned out several times already, because I think that's such a reality for all of us who are labeling ourselves as adult improvers, like with these, even if the goals are just how much we're going to study, sometimes it can feel like a lot of pressure. Like, I got to do this. I'm a chess player. Since I'm a chess player, I got to study. And then you're like, you know, there's that risk of burnout. I'm always worried myself that it's going to happen. So I'm so excited that you've been able to come back a couple times, and I'm rooting for you, man. If you feel like you're burning out, just like put something on Twitter, like, I might be burning out, and we'll all be like, Jesse, dial it back. What are you doing? Take a week off. So yeah, yeah, no more burnouts, man. Or just stop if you want. Who am I to tell you to keep playing?
I think this new approach should be more successful than the previous ones. I think what happens now is when I feel like I'm obligated to interact with chess in one way or another, I just ask myself why. Nice. Why do I feel like I need to do that thing?
Yeah.
And if I have a good answer, then I go do the thing. And if I don't have a good answer, I go do something else.
Yeah. And the answer can never be because I want to be a grandmaster, because you know, we both know that's not gonna happen. Yeah, I'm not saying no adult can become a grandmaster. I'm not one of those people. Yeah. I know for myself, and it sounds like Jesse has also recognized that it's probably not in the cards. Mm-hmm, well, Jesse, thanks so much for coming by. Really, really appreciate the interview. Appreciate you carving out the time. And for all of you out there, I hope you have a week like the day I'm having where you're like, yes, I might be good at this. And stay tuned for next week when I no longer think I'm good at chess. So I'll see y'all next time, everybody. Have a great one.